Good morning. Today's Daf and Bav Metzias, Daf Beis, otherwise known as the beginning of the Masechta. Welcome to our next Masechta here in the Bavas, in Seder Nezikin. And Bav Metzias is going to be opening up with a discussion regarding Metzia. So what happens if you find what happens if you find a lost item? Good. Now, it's fair enough to say, well, what happens when you find a lost item? It's very simple. You return it back to its original owner. So over here, we're going to be using the word metzia, but we're going to be using it a little bit loosely. In other words, metzia over here is a lost item, but a lost item that doesn't really have an owner. And so now each one is going to be making a claim of their ownership of the item. But just to take a broader look over here at the Masechta for just a moment. So first couple of prakim here in Masechta about metzia. So we're going to be discussing what to do with a lost item. Okay, I know at first what we're going to be discussing is how to divide it, meaning obviously there's no owner. But then what we're going to do is come around over here, the first perek and certainly the second perek, and talk about returning it to its rightful owner, because that's what you're supposed to do. It's a mitzvah in the Torah when you find a lost item, return it to its rightful owner. Okay, over the course of this Masechta, so we continue our discussion regarding money. In fact, later in the Masechta, we're going to be talking about actual money. And we're going to have a discussion regarding currency. If I'm not mistaken, that'll be the fourth perek. Let's see how good I am on my memory. Fifth parak of the Masechta, we're going to be talking about loans, and we're going to be talking about interest and ribbis, and it is touted, and probably correctly so, as one of the more difficult parakim in Shas, because it really is going to be assuming various business practices, which, you know, generally speaking, are still true to this day, but in other words, we're going back to business practices that were done, you know, some time ago. But anyway, but that's the parak regarding ribbis. And then later in the Masechta, we're going to be talking about employment law and what happens when you employ somebody and wages and liability of the employee and so forth and so on. Good. And that is a broad sketch of the Masechta. So in other words, more monetary issues. Okay, Baba Kama was a little bit more centralized, if you will, a little more condensed in terms of topics. Back in Baba Kama, we talked about breaking an item and paying for the item that you broke it. And that really is a synopsis of nearly the entire Masechta. That's Prakims 1 through 5, 1 through 6, and Parak number 8 as well, in Baba Kama. 7, 9, and 10 in Baba Kama had to do with Gzela and Gneva. Okay, so Baba Kama, I have to admit, is a little bit more focused, if you will, in terms of what it's going to discuss over here. But Metzia, we're gonna cast a little bit of a wider net in terms of discussing it, but it really comes down to money and ownership and possession and the standard monetary discussion. Then when we round out to Baba Basra, and I know this is really now going forward, so Baba Basra are really going to be talking about real estate. Okay, good. Yeah, correct. Shnayim Ochzim B'Talzeh, Omer Ani Mitzasiv, Zeh Omer Ani Mitzasiv. So here we open up with our first Mishnah of the Masechta, and that is two people holding on to a talis. And the claims. So this one said, I found it, and this one said, I found it. Zamar kula shali, v'zamar kula shali. As the Gemara is going to be clear, this is all one case. And each one of them say, the whole thing belongs to me. Zei yishav v'shein bo, she'in lo ba pachos mechetzia. V'zei yishav v'shein lo ba pachos mechetzia, v'yach loko. So then now each one of them is going to be making a shvua. The shvua is that I don't own less than half of it. The wording of the shvua we're going to be talking about later in the Masechta, not today. But but each one of them is going to make a shvua. And then what do you do? Yachlok, what we're going to do is they're going to take them again, then we're going to divide it. Okay. So over here, basically, we are looking at conflict and conflict resolution. What do you do in a situation where each one of them is making a monetary claim to an item? And the obvious issue over here, the conflict over here, is it's one item, two people. So what do I do under those circumstances? So over here, just a quick synopsis. Well, it's just going to take a moment now, very quick moment to step away from the Gemara and talk about basically three different scenarios and three different ways in order how to resolve this kind of monetary dispute. Over here in our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, Bav Metzia, so what we're learning together is that under the conflict resolution playbook, so what do? You divide, right? In other words, you just open up the playbook over here. We have a monetary conflict. We had to resolve it and divide it. Okay, almost like a compromise. That's what we learned together. Tosos points out over here, everything I'm saying right now is coming basically out of the second Tosos of the Masechta. Tosos points out that that's not the only play in the playbook. In other words, there actually are two other ways in terms of how to resolve conflict. Another way to resolve it, says points out Tosos. The Tosos is all based on other Gemaras. Again, everything I'm doing is just summarizing. See Tosos inside. Another way to resolve it is called the Olam Gavar. Let them fight it out. Okay. Tosos points out that's the case by the boat. Right. In other words, there's a boat and two people are making claims to the boat. Okay. Obviously, there's no title, there's no deed, and they're each making claims to the boat. So called Olam Gavar. Okay. So let them fight it out. What exactly called Olam Gavar means is also subject to a dispute and debate, but for our purposes right now, I'm just going over various ways in terms of how to resolve. And then there actually is a third manner of conflict resolution, and that is the case mentioned in our Masechta as well, later in our Masechta. And that is, this is coming up later in on Lamed Zayin, and that is that two people deposited money by a nifkad, by a custodian. One deposited 100, the other one deposited 200. And when they go back to claim their monies that they deposited, so each one now puts in a claim that what they did is they left $200 by him. Each one of them say they left 200. Now he's only got 300. So there's no way he can dole out 400. Now as far as he's concerned, one of you gets 100, one gets 200, but each one of them is making a claim of 200. So what do I do over there? Do we take that third 100 and do we divide it? Do we let them fight it out? Actually, third play in the playbook. And that is, we're gonna put in an escrow. Achi Avo Eliyahu, until Eliyahu Navi comes and hopefully clarifies for us what to do under those circumstances. So what Tosos basically does is Tosos tries to organize. So I got now three ways in terms of how to resolve. Either we're going to divide, that's our Mishnah. Alternatively, let them fight it out. That's the case of the boat. Alternatively, we're just simply going to hold on to it and Ashiyavah Eliyahu Navi. And again, what exactly that means, Ashiyavah Eliyahu Navi, open for a discussion, but I just want to highlight over here, that is the third strategy in terms of how to resolve. So obviously, the heavy lifting now comes when do I go with which play? Meaning, when do we divide, when do we let them fight it out, and when do we just simply hold on to it and say nobody's going to get it, right? So, again, this is a really, really large and broad topic. I'm just giving you an overview of what we're gonna look at, and how we're gonna resolve it. And there are three different methods in terms of how to resolve it. Okay. Again, if this was an Ian Shear, we'd spend the rest of today talking about it. It's a daf. We're gonna go on. But you understand though that we're right now looking at Yachloku. And by the way, if I may, in other words, without getting too involved, look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah Shai Mochzim Metalas Dafka Ochzin. So Rashi says one of the key aspects over here in our conflict is that each one of them is holding. And Rashi says that's critical. Now each one of them is a muchzak. There is physical possession that we are describing over here. Let's say one was holding and the other one was making a claim. So Rashi says I say this with pun intended, but that you can handle with one hand tied behind your back or both hands tied behind your back. Meaning if you're not muchzak, if you're not holding it, and all you're doing is making a claim on somebody, and he's a muchzak, and you're just making a claim, you are, he's in the driver's seat. You're in the back of the bus. Meaning, hamotze mechaver, alav araya. He's a muchzak, and I'm trying to get money away from him. I'm trying to extract. Extraction can only come with definitive proof, edim, so forth and so on. So in other words, so Rashi says that the only way that we are going to be taking something and divide it between competing claims is only when each one of them is going to be a muchzak. Already from this Rashi get a clue in terms of why over here in our Mishnah, the way to resolve this conflict is by dividing. Okay, we go back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, Zeh Omar Kula Shali, V'Zeh Omar Chetzer Shali. Okay, now, what the Mishnah is going to do over here is just fiddle around a little bit with the claims. Meaning the opening claim of the two parties in the Mishnah is each one of them say the whole thing belongs to me. Okay, now, it's a little bit challenging, but at least it's an equal claim. Good.
Are they holding on to anything?
Rashi says they have to be holding on. Each one is holding on.
So what's the difference?
In the second case now, the Gemara says, Zamar Kulo Shali V'Zamar Chetzer Shali. Now, in case number two, so one says the whole thing belongs to me, and the other one says, no, half belongs to me. So, Ha'omer kula shalisha v'shein lo pachos mishosha chalakim. Ve'omer chetzi shalisha v'shein lo pachos me'reviyah. Zenoto shosha chalakim v'zenoto reviyah. So over here, the division now is going to be 3/4, 1/4. The one who claims all of it is going to take 3/4. The one who claims half of it is going to take 1/4. Okay. We'll do more on the second case later on. Hayushnaim rochvin. Hayushnaim rochvin. Agabe behema oshaya echa rochev echa manhig. Zemar kula shali v'zemar kula shali zeisha v'shein lo ba'apachus mechetia v'zeisha v'shein lo ba'apachus mechetia v'yachloku. Next case of the Mishnah is basically the same thing, but with an animal. The Gemara is going to ask the question, if I remember correctly, in that this is really a redundancy. Over here, same thing. Two people holding on to an animal, each one making a claim. Like, been there, done that, right? Meaning we already know. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, and the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly we're adding with this case over here. Stay tuned. But basically, it comes out to be the same. So what we're going to do over here is that we're going to... We're going to have each one of them make a shvuah, and then of course what we're going to do is that we're going to take the animal and divide it into two. Now over here, I'm not sure if we're physically going to be dividing the animal into two. Might be a little bit counterproductive, but you get the idea. In other words, a division over here as well. Now, when there is agreement that they lifted up the talis together, for example, so or alternatively, there are witnesses that they lifted the talis together. So now chokim lo shvua. Now what we could do is that we could divide it, but over here, with the advantage of either agreement that they lifted it together, or witnesses say that lifted it together, so now what we get to do is we get to divide it, but we don't have to make a shvua. Okay? So the shvua obviously is going to be in a scenario in which the shvua is necessary when right now we don't have agreement between the two, and each one of them is making a competing claim against the other. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first Mishnah of our Masechta. And so the first Amud over here, pretty straightforward. In that, we're just going to clean up the language of the Mishnah. What I did over here is that I presented the Mishnah, hopefully clearly, but in other words, but with hindsight of, the language of the Mishnah is not as clear as I made it out to be. And so what the Gemara is going to do is just simply brush up some of the language of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, look, the language of the Mishnah, it's zeh, follow them by zeh. Like, why isn't the Mishnah just one cohesion? And just simply give me one string. So the Gemara says, Let me go step by step. Sorry. Step number one. All right. I ran through the Gemara. Step number one is Chada Ketani, meaning that the Mishnah is in fact one flow. And when the Mishnah says Zeh Amar Animat Sasiya Vikula Shali, Vizeh Amar Animat Sasiya Vikula Shali. Okay. So step number one of the Gemara is just simply it's not different cases. It's one case. Again, I read the Mishnah that way, but again, with the hindsight of knowing what the Gemara just said. So the Gemara says, okay, why doesn't the Mishnah just give us a more concise way of speaking? And that is, each one of them just simply make the claim, Ani Mitzasiya, I found it. Meaning, when you claim Ani Mitzasiya, included, contained in your claim, aren't you also saying the whole thing belongs to me? Itan Ani Mitzasiya, Havamina, My Mitzasiya, Riasiya. So, Avagav de Lasigli Ade. And Ria Ba'ama Kani. So Tanakula Shali de Bria Lo Kani. So the Gemara says, here's what I would have thought. I would have thought that had the Mishnah just said Ani Mitzasiya, so what he meant by that, and the only thing he meant by that is, hey, I saw it first. Okay? Much like two kids, I see this in the high school, two kids running to the car. I get shotgun. Why? Because, you know, I saw it first. Now, as much as I made it a childish claim, the Gemara over here, obviously serious people having serious thoughts, the Gemara for a moment entertains the idea that Re'iyah is Kona. Meaning by virtue of the fact that, look, there's an opportunity, right? A lost item right over there. Okay, I saw it first. Therefore I get to claim it. Now, admittedly, it's going to be a little bit tough to understand what exactly the Hava Mina is, and we're going to be dismissing the Hava Mina, but just for a moment, The Gemara really is entertaining, seriously entertaining, this idea that by me seeing it first, so that really gives me the opportunity to claim it. Okay. And if the Mishnah would have said, Ani mitzasiya, I might have arrived at that thought, but the Gemara now points out, but that's erroneous. So Re'iyah by itself is not going to be Kono. Umi matzis amart, my mitzasiya re'asiya. So the Gemara says, now, really, meaning even as a Havamina, could we really have entertained that? V'hamar Ravina Rabbanai. So U mitzasa. Right? The pasuk says Zechol Aveda Sachicha Asher Tova Mimena. U mitzasa. Somebody lost it, I found it. Good. So Da'asli Adei Mashma. Now over there, just simple taich of the pasuk. What does the Torah mean? Torah means that when I found it, it means that I actually picked it up. So in mitzasa dekra da'asli adei mashma. So the Gemara says, I concede. When the Torah says mitzasa, it means that you actually physically picked it up. Miotana lishon damanaka. Okay, but that may not necessarily inform us of how to read a Mishnah. Meaning, you know biblical Hebrew. That's great. Good. So when the Chumash says mitzasa, it means that you pick it up. Maybe that's not how Tanaim talk, right? The Gemara in a number of times says that lashon Torah lachud and lashon Chachamim lachud. The way the Chachamim speak may not necessarily be the exact same way that the Torah speaks. So, umedechazilei amar, ani ashkechis ve'afagav delosilei adei, uvriya ba'am akani. So, tana kula shali, debriya ba'am lo kanala. So, with that in mind, that just because we touched up the pasuk, mitzasa means to physically pick it up, I still might have thought that our Mishnah did not mean physically pick it up, but I would have understood that our Mishnah meant just, I saw it with the word mitzasiya. That's why the Mishnah now has to come over the top with, and kula shali, the whole thing's mine, meaning I'm physically holding it in my hand. Okay. Velisa kula shali velabai ani mitzasiya. Okay, now let's go the other direction. Why doesn't the Mishnah say kula shali, and then no need to write ani mitzasiya? The Gemara, again, probing the Mishnah, because again, the Gemara's a general assumption throughout Shas is the Mishnah would be writing in the most concise fashion. And so why not the claim just simply be kula shali? So itana kula shali have amina ba'ama diktani mitzasiya b'riya ba'ama kani tani ani mitzasiya v'hadu tana kula shali debim demi mishni yisera ashmina and deriya lo kani. Good. So what our Mishnah is coming to do is teach us a general lesson. And that is that when you see the words ani mitzasiya, it means physically pick it up. Again, we already pointed out that's how you're gonna define the Torah. But now when you get to a Mishnah, that's also how you're going to define the Mishnah. How do I know that? The first Mishnah Bab Mitzia, our daf today. The first Mishnah Bab Mitzia is now giving us a rule that carries us over throughout. That whenever you see the word mitzasiha, it means physically pick it up. Umi matzis amar chada katani, hazeh v'zeh katani. Now this read of the Mishnah is a little bit challenging, meaning that the Mishnah is only expressing one case, but the Mishnah keeps repeating zeh and zeh four times over. So zeh omer ani mitzasiya, v'zeh ani mitzasiya, zeh omer kula shali v'chulei. So amar apapa v'item Rav Shimi bar Ashi v'amri la kedi. So the Gemara gives attribution to three possible amarim. Kedi, not Rashi here, but Rashi elsewhere says that kedi is a name of an amora. All right. There's another way to explain that kedi actually means an anonymous source. Either way. So, and that is reisha mitzia seifa mekach umemkar. So in other words, the reason why we have the repetitive zeh, it is one case. But in other words, its application will be many times over. In other words, one application would be in the case of mitzvah. If we find an item. We find an item, we pick the item up, each one of them claiming the item belongs to me. Okay, good. So mitzvah. But also, the application of our Mishnah can go to cases of mekach or memkar. Now, it's going to be a little bit trickier, I have to admit. But in other words, there could be an application of mekach or memkar. And that is that we're going into court and we have an item in our hand and we claim now, I bought it. Each one of us are claiming I bought it, I purchased it. Oh, okay, good. And in such a situation now, we're going to be using the same rule of our Mishnah. I claim it's mine, you claim it's yours. So what we're going to do is we're going to divide each one of us making a shvuah. Now, yeah, I understand. You're using modern business practices. That's very good.
There should be an
Erecha
in that case, the seller.
Ah, so the right, in a moment we're going to explore what in the world is happening with that seller. right? And the Gemara is also going to explore in just a moment. Well, didn't one of them pay for it? Okay. So in the case of Mekach HaMemkar, admittedly, that's what I said. Admittedly, it's going to be a little bit trickier. But basically, we are going to construct a scenario where it's going to be the same resolution by Mekach HaMemkar. They're both holding it. They're both claiming it. They're going to divide it with a Shvuah. Now, as we turn to the Amud Beis.
One of them could have a simon on it.
Again, 100%. There could be so many different variables. But right now, ignore variables and let's just deal with the basic idea that it could happen. So when it comes to a mitzvah, so over there the rabbi said shvuah. Why? Mishum demare. The amar chavai lav midi chaserba. Ezo edfas vid palag ba'aday. Now, so in the case of mitzvah, so why make a shvuah? And by the way, I could have asked this question the first minute that we learned the Mishnah, and that is why are we making a shvuah, right? And as you'll see over the course of the remainder of today's daf, tomorrow's daf as well, you'll see the Amoraimer also taking a little bit of a side, an angle in terms of what is the purpose of the Shvuah. But right now, the Gemara is suggesting the following, and that is, what is the need for a Shvuah? Anyway, we're going to be dividing it. So why make a Shvuah? So the Gemara says the Shvuah is there to basically prevent fraud prevention. Because what's going to happen by a Mitzvah? Somebody just picked up an item. It's not his. He found it. So how much effort and energy did he exert in order to get it? Zero. Just happened to have been lucky. His day. His mazel. So you know what? I'm just going to go and put my hand on the other side of the item. And I'll make a claim. And we'll go to court. And we'll divide it. And I don't feel that bad. I will go to sleep tonight. Because did I really cause him a loss? Come on. Now, the answer, of course, is yes, you did. Yes, you did. Meaning that's all called rationalization. That's justification. So what the Gemara now is entertaining is the following. In the case of Mitzvah, I now understand Shvuah, because Shvuah is serving as fraud prevention. Meaning, before the second person gets his hand in there and picks it up, he now has to remind himself, oh, wait one second. We're going to go to court, and I'm going to have to make a Shvuah. And I'm going to have to swear falsely. Okay. So by Shvuah, the Shvuah over there is to prevent fraud. So the... But when it comes to Mekach HaMemkar, so over here, so now the thought process is as follows. And that is, I might have thought that in Mekach HaMemkar, what we're going to do is that we're going to divide the item, but without a Shvuah. Now, why without a Shvuah? So the, look at Rashi. And Rashi writes over here, third line down. So first of all, Rashi gives up the goods, which is that later the Gemara is going to ask the question, what about the money? Who paid for it? And the answer is they both paid for it, as we will see in just a moment. So one paid for it willingly, and the other one paid it by karcha, against the will of the seller. Good. Ukishiach loku, yitol zeh chatzi me'osav, zeh chatzi me'osav. Now, in terms of yachloku, so what we're going to do now is that each one of them is going to get half the money. Afilo hachi chisarnu hu atzlo di ilo havetzarech la, lo have a mahader abasar lemizbana v'zeh sheba lachlok v'litein chatzi damim shelo kedin mechasro. So over here, what I'm going to be doing is that basically I'm going to be taking money away from somebody else, and therefore what? And therefore, what we're going to now do is that we're not going to split it. Meaning this is not the same as the case of Mitzia. And therefore, I would have thought that in the case of Mekach HaMemkar, don't split it. And presumably also, don't let them fight over it. And I guess we would go with strategy number three. And that would be, we'll just keep it in escrow until Eliyahu comes. But so that's what I would have thought had the mission not been verbose and not gave both cases. V'itana Mekach HaMemkar, hu deramu rabban shuala mishom, demari v'amar, chavrai demekayavane, demekayavina. So Hasha Tsrichali Didi Ashkala Ana Vikhavai Lezolitjoch Lisbon. Okay. And the Gemara says, and in turn we could have argued the other direction as well. In the case of Mekach HaMemkar, once again there could be rationalization over there. Look, I paid for it, he paid for it. Okay. And so what we'll do is that I'll just simply make the claim that the item belongs to me, even though I'm coming in second, And the truth of the matter is that the money that I gave really is not a kinyan. But in other words, but I'll pay the money and I'll make the claim that it belongs to me. And now what will happen is that it'll be given to me. He'll get his money back and he'll just go buy it somewhere else. That could all be part of the rationalization. And now what the Shavuah is coming to do is the Shavuah is coming to remind you, hey, you're lying and you're going to have to swear to that. So again, it's a method of fraud prevention. But in the case of Metziah, look, in the case of Metziah, I'm coming in, I'm going to be taking half, he's going to be losing half of it, period. Again, if in fact I'm number two, he's going to be losing half of it. He's not going to get reimbursed his money. In other words, it's a Metziah, it's an item where he had all of it and half of it's going to be taken away. So I therefore would have thought that under those circumstances, we will not just simply divide with a shvua. Okay. So that's why the Mishnah is verbose. That's why the Mishnah keeps saying Zeh Amar Kulu Shali, Zeh Amar Kulu Shali, and the Zeh being repeated all those times, meaning this idea of Yachlok would both be in the case of Metziah, in the case of Mekach Umemkar as well. And now the Mekach Umemkar case, which we already kind of gave it up, but let's just go through this. Mekach Umemkar v'lehev ezuzei v'lechzei ezuzei mima nakat. So now let's ask simple questions. And that is, the money, where's the money coming from? Meaning, I'm sorry, let's do that better. Who paid for it? In other words, in the case of Metziah, nobody paid for it. Each one of them just is simply grabbing it, picking it up. But in the case of Mekach Umemkar, there's a buyer, there's a seller. In this case, there are two buyers or two people claiming they bought it. But there's a seller, and the seller, in order to sell, is going to be receiving money. Who did he get the money from? So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha denaka mitarvayo, chad midaite o mechad bal karche, velo yadana, mihu bindaite o mihu bal karche. Okay, now what the seller now is acknowledging is the following. Yeah, they both gave me money. Yeah, one of them was really aggressive. Okay, could you tell me which one was the aggressive one? I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know. There was a lot going on. Okay, in other words, it was business hours. And look, in other words, when you're in a position where you're selling, so there's a lot of activity, a lot of commotion, and he didn't remember. He knows that he has money from both of them, but he doesn't remember which one he willingly sold and which one just simply shoved the money in his hand. Here, take it.
Why would he take the money from the second guy?
He shouldn't have, but that's what happened. Okay. Okay. Where are we right now? I'm almost at the conclusion of the first off Bab Metziah. Two more loose ends to tie up. One of them we're not going to be tying up today, but the first one we will tie up, the second one we will not tie up. And that is that our Mishnah says, what do you do now for conflict resolution? Take the item and divide the item. Again, as we went over in the beginning of today's daf, this is not the only play in the playbook. There's also let them fight it out, and there's also, we're just going to hold on to it. Okay, there are three plays in the playbook. But as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so what do you do now as both of them are actually physically holding the item? And that is that we're simply going to divide the item, each one of them making a shvua. Good. That's our Mishnah.
The merchant got double pay. They should go after the merchant. They both shoved the money in the merchant's hand.
Yeah.
And the merchant doesn't know where the money came from. He got double pay for one item.
Right. In other words, Now, each one of them, in that case over there, I mean, in the case of Mekach Umemkar, so now they're both claiming for the item, meaning the money, no, the merchant's not going to keep all that money.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Don't worry. Everything will be, everything will get resolved. The only issue now is, what do I do with that item? Each one of them claimed that they bought it. What do I do with it? And so the Gemara says, we're going to divide it. Okay. Next. Okay. Our first loose end that we're going to tie up is what are we going to do as far as Benanas is concerned? So Benanas is a Tana. In order to appreciate this, a little bit of background over here, and that is a Mishnah Shavuos. Mishnah Shavuos and Daf Mem Hei. Mishnah Shavuos has the following, and that is that I have the employer, I have the employee, and they have their per diem. In other words, they're going to be able to eat. How are they going to go to eat? So they go to the local market. And what the store owner is going to do is that he's going to provide them food, okay? And now what the way all this works is now the store owner is going to go back to the employer and say, this is how much I gave them. Good. And the store owner now is going to get reimbursed from the employer. Okay? Fine. This is how the day is set up between the employer and his employees. Now the Mishnah in Shavuos goes over the following scenario, and that is that the employees go over to the employer and say, no. In other words, we didn't get food today. Okay? In other words, it didn't happen. Now the store owner goes over to the Chanvani, he goes over to the employer and says, that's so funny. I gave them. Okay. So now the Mishnah in Shavuos says, what do you do under those circumstances? So you have now two people coming after the Balabais. So what does the Balabais do under those circumstances? So Machlokus over there, but right now the Shita of Ben Nanas, which is we're not going to have both the Pawalim and the Chanvani make Shavuos. We're not going to do that. One of them is lying. One of them has to be lying. And so therefore, what's going to happen now is they're both going to take from the Balabais. And without a shvuah. Oh, okay. And so what the Gemara now is going to wonder is, wait one second. And by the way, right, I'm really giving the short version of the Gemara and shvuah because it's a machlokus in terms of what to do over there. And right now I'm only presenting the Shita ben Nanas. But obviously because that's what our Gemara is going to be bothered by. So lema masisim delo ke ben Nanas. De'i ke ben Nanas. So Hamar Ketzad Eilu Veilu Baim Lidei Shvuah Shav. So the what Benanis is not going to happen is not going to have happen is that we're not going to introduce a Shvuah where one of them is going to be making a false Shvuah. That's ridiculous, says Benanis. And so over here, now is it fair to say that our mission is not going like him? So the Gemara says no, you don't have to say that. Afilu Tema Benanis Hasam Vadaika Shvuah Shav. Hachik Lamem Adaleka Shvuah Shav. So Ema De Tavai Bahadi Adadi Akbe. So now we are also now unraveling, we're revealing an important yesod in our Mishnah. And that is, it could very well be that both of them are speaking the truth. It could be. Doesn't have to be, but it could be. So in other words, Benanis, who says in the Mishnah Shavuos over there, if I know one of them is lying, we're not going to have them both making a Shavuah. That's absurd. So yes, you're right. That is absurd. But that absurdity doesn't translate over here. Because over here, it could very well be the two of them picked it up at the same time. So at least exists the possibility that both of them are making a factual statement, a correct statement. It doesn't have to be, but it could be. And so even Benanis in our mission would tell you that both of them are going to make the Shavuah, unlike the case in the Mishnah Shavuos. Okay.
Why can't we have both claim they're making a false Shavuah?
You're asking me to explain Benanis even better? No, I'm being serious.
He would have to pay for both. In other words,
right, correct. Right. In other words, Benanis says that the risk of one of them making a shvuah shav is going to override. Right. In other words, now because of that, now the onus. You're right. The onus now is put on the Balabais. He's now going to have to pay two people.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. Correct. The Chachamim disagree. Okay. Good. Again, the Mishnah Shavuos is much more just making the point over here that our Mishnah could still follow Benanis.
Both litigants have to make a Shavuah?
No.
Where? Here, there?
Here.
Here? Yes. Both of them have to make a Shavuah. Yes. Okay. Now, next. Now finally we get to Simchas. Okay. Now, Simchas we already were introduced to back in Baba Kama. Okay. Hopefully my memory is good. We're talking now the beginning of the fourth parak of Baba Kama. So in the fourth parak of the Baba Kama, what happened was is that there was a sale. So I just bought a parah mazel tov, right? A cow. It just happens to be that there was a negicha, right? And now what happens was is that the cow was damaged by somebody's shore. Okay, and right alongside the cow there was a fetus. And now what happened? that's the problem. We're not sure what happened. In other words, we know that the cow was injured via negicha. Because of the goring of your ox, that part we know. And we're the Mishnah over there is describing a short time, so he doesn't pay full damages. He only pays chatzi nezek. Good. But the problem over there is that there, right alongside the cow, there's also an ubar, bitsi deha, right alongside. And now, miscarried as a result of the negicha, we don't know. We don't know exactly what happened. So what do you do over there? So now, is the owner of the ox going to have to pay damages for the Uber, for the fetus? So in that Mishnah over there, so the position of Simchas is because we don't know, so we're going to divide. We're going to just simply divide between the two. So Simchas is of the position that Mamun Hamuta B'Safik Yachaloku. Money that is in question, that's in doubt, what you're going to do is you're going to divide. Now over there, you'll remember the Chachamim said you have to be out of your mind. In other words, right now you're making a claim against me, meaning my ox damaged your cow. We're in agreement. What happened with the fetus? Did it occur before the goring as a result of the goring? We don't know. Could have happened before the goring. We simply don't know. And you're making a claim against me and you're taking money out of my hand? No. Amotzi mechavero alav haraya. No, you're going to take money out of me. You don't need a claim. You need definitive proof. Good. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. But Simcha's of the position that money's in suffix, so what you're going to do is you're going to divide it. And oh, by the way, the important part, the critical part over here is that according to Simchas, you're going to divide it without a shvua. It just simply gets divided. So lema masisin delo kesimchas di kesimchas va amar mamna muta basafik cholkim below shvua. So good. So our Mishnah is not going like Simchas because our Mishnah has them dividing it with a shvua, and meanwhile Simchas says divide it without a shvua. To which the Gemara says vela my rabbanan. So the Gemara says okay. So now our Mishnah is not going like Simchas. That's great. And now the alternative, of course, is the Chachamim. But it can be. The Chachamim say that in order to take money away from somebody, you need a raya. So So the Gemara says, look, the Chachamim, that's easy. In other words, the cases are obviously different. In the case of the fetus, so over there, there's no muchzak. In other words, you're making a claim against me, and you're trying to take money out of my hands? No. You can't do that without raya, without proof, without definitive proof. Over here, both of us are physically holding on, so I'm a muchzak, you're a muchzak. The first Rashi in our Masechta made this very point. Obviously, Rashi is guided by our Gemara over here. Our Gemara over here says it clearly. Each one of them is a muchzak. So even according to the Chachamim now, I'm a muchzak, you're a muchzak. So now what do we do? So now we'll divide and we'll make a shvua. But Eli Amar Simchas Hashem Mahasam Delo Tafsi Tarvayu Cholkim Below Shvua Hachad De Tarvayu Tafsi La Lo Kol Shekain. So the Gemara says, but over here now, here's the problem. The problem is that to try to align our mission with Simchas, good luck. Because over there in that mission of Baba Kama, what do we say? We're going to divide it. And we're going to divide it without a shvua, meaning according to Simchas. We're going to divide it without a shvua. And that's talking about a case where they're not a muchzak. Over here, which each one of them is a muchzak. So if I ask Simchas now, what am I supposed to do? Wouldn't he tell you, of course, divide it without a shvua? Meaning, if I don't need a shvua over there, don't I not need a shvua over here? And it would even stand more to reason I don't need a shvua over here, as each one is physically holding onto a part. So afilu teima Simchas. So the Gemara says, what we'll try to do is we'll try to create alignment. Our Mishnah could be going like Simchas. Chi amar Simchas b'shema v'shema. Aval bari lo amar. So what the Gemara would suggest now is the following, and that is that in the case over there in Baba Kama, so over there, what happened? I don't know. Do you know what happened? No, I don't know. So in other words, over there in the case where it's Shema V'Shema, so then what we'll do is we'll divide the money and below Shvua. But over here, each one of them is making a claim and a definitive claim. The whole thing is mine. And the other person is making the exact same claim. The whole thing is mine. And maybe and under such a circumstance, maybe a shvua should be made. So the Gemara says, okay, that is a proposal, but it will not work according to Rava Bar Ravuna. Rava Bar Ravuna will say that the position of Simchas of dividing the money is even in claims of Bari Vabari. So the Gemara says, Afilo Tema Simchas. Chi Amar Simchas Hechadika Dorar de Mamona. Avahecha Deleka Dorar de Mamona Lo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we could do is we could make the following distinction, and that is that in the case of Baba Kama, there is what's called Durara de Mamona. In our case over here, there is no Durara de Mamona. And so therefore, the cases are different. Now, obviously, what it leads us to do is we're going to have to explain what does that mean? Meaning, what is exactly Durara de Mamona? What is happening over there in Baba Kama? What's happening over here? So we're going to pause. And tomorrow, it's a tease. So tomorrow, what we'll do is we'll... we'll go over the fundamental difference between the two cases and how it could be that Simchas could over there say divide without a Shvuah and over here say divide with a Shvuah. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, that is the end of the first daf of Bamitzia. We introduced in our Mishnah over here two people having claims to an item, physically holding on to the item, each one claiming that the item belongs to them. So in other words, here in our opening Mishnah of the Masechta, what do I do with the Mitziah, where there is no owner, and you have competing claims of ownership? What do I do? So the Mishnah says what you're going to do is you're going to divide it, and you're going to divide it together with a Shvuah. Right. Okay, what we did, number one, is that we went through the Mishnah, and the Mishnah gave numerous scenarios of what exactly the claims are and how the division is going to take place. There are three different scenarios in the Mishnah. We're going to go through each one of them in the upcoming days. That's number one. Number two is that the Gemara just cleans up the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah being so verbose, and we know that that's not the style of the Mishnah. The Mishnah wants to be concise. The Mishnah doesn't want to be verbose. So every time you see an extra word in the Mishnah, an extra phrase, it's there to instruct and to inform. So that's the first Amud, and that's what we did throughout the first Amud. And then as we got to the Amud Beis, so what we try to do is we went over that our Mishnah's application of division would be both in the case of Mitziah and in the case of Mekach u'Memkar. In both cases, where both of them paid, both of them gave money, and still, what we're going to do is Yachloka, we're going to divide, but with a Shvuah, in both cases. And why do I need both cases? And the Gemara went through the Tzri Chusa. And then finally, the last thing that we did today is that our Mishnah can be going like Ben Nanas, as per the Mishnah and Shvuah and Daf Mem Hei, where Ben Nanas says is that if I know someone's going to make a Shvuah Shav, I will have nobody making a Shvuah, even though, as you pointed out correctly, now that puts a burden on the Baal Bais, where he's going to have to pay two times over. Okay, but over here, however, our Mishnah, who says that Yachlok B'Shvua, could still be the Shita Benanis. Why? Because there's at least a possibility that each one of them is saying the truth. Because they could have picked it up at the same time. And then finally, what about Shita Simchus? Can our Mishnah be aligned with Simchus? That's where we're right in the middle of discussing, and we continue with that tomorrow. Le'ilui Nishmas.